Hi, I'm Sebastian. I'm listening to the Bigfoot Club podcast.
Hey, everybody. Please go to our website at www.bigfootclubpodcast.com. Check out our merch and all our episodes. Also, please look for our social media on all platforms at Bigfoot Club number one. If you have a Bigfoot or paranormal story or just need help in your area, please email us at bigfootclubnumber1@gmail.com. Also, check out Matt Knapp's Bigfoot Crossroads on all platforms. Please check out Blair Dominguez, My Lovely Wife's podcast, Silence Serenity, on Spotify.
Hey, everybody. Robert Jesse Dominguez, Bigfoot Club, Season 6, Episode 2. I'm here with my nephew, Steven. Steven, say what's up.
What's up?
I am pretty happy to announce we have in our midst Bigfoot Crossroads, Matthew, Reginald, Bartholomew, Knappers. Matt, what's up?
Chiefs are going to the Super Bowl.
You know, I'm going to say this right now. I am pulling for the Chiefs.
Yeah, because as of right now, I think the 49ers won.
Yeah.
The Lions were there.
They were up. They were up whenever we started podcasting today. So,
I wanted the Lions to be there.
Me too.
That would have been nice, but for some reason they choked.
Yeah, that's okay. They made it that far. I think it's good.
Yeah, they did. They made it that far. I will give them that.
Is this the first time we're actually talking about sports on the show?
Sports. Yeah.
Sports entertainment. I would just like to say something, and this is just because I'm a Chiefs fan.
Right.
But little known fact, regardless of any current relationship status, I am a closet Swiftie. I have actually purchased one of her CDs in the past.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I like her music. Sorry. Get over it.
There's nothing wrong with it.
Yeah.
I'm getting tired. I'm getting sick and tired, fellas, of all the haters
There are a lot of haters. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Do we completely not remember Romo and Jessica Simpson?
Oh, yeah. That fell harder than...
They had just a camera focused on her every single game, the entire game.
Yeah. But
showing the players' girlfriends and significant others in the stands, especially after they score touchdowns, isn't a new thing, folks. It just happens to be Taylor Swift, so get over it.
But here's the thing, though. Taylor Swift is a bigger... Like, a lot of people know who her her music. I don't think Jessica Simpson was...
No. Whenever Jessica Simpson was going out with Tony Romo, she was the Taylor Swift of the world.
Yeah, I don't think she's.
She had her own. Though. She had her own TV show. She had all kinds of stuff going on.
Yeah, I guess, but you gotta admit Taylor Swift is the bigger catch.
Yeah.
She's
like pretty too. She's pretty.
I like Taylor Swift.
Yeah, she's pretty.
She wrote a song about me.
So
it's called Hey Steven, just so you know.
Yeah. Hey, Matt, we just recorded 100th episode of Bigfoot Crossroads.
100th.
Man.
That's so long ago when we did that episode.
And for some reason, it seemed like you've done more than 100. Mm-hmm. Is it me? Or
I mean, so it's technically... Okay.
I was trying to get you to do that, so go ahead.
I started over at one. Whenever I actually put the show out on podcast platforms.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I see.
So, like, I was doing Bigfoot Crossroads years ago on YouTube, mm-hmm. and then I stopped and started doing Bigfoot Outlaw Radio again. And then after Bigfoot Outlaw Radio, I started doing Bigfoot Crossroads again. And whenever I did that, I started back over at one. So this is... You know, Bigfoot Crossroads version 2, episode 100.
So, do you have like a number that you're really on right now? Like a legacy number? Like, no. Like 1,000 or no. something?
Would you consider those, yeah, those other episodes lost episodes?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, they're there. They're like on the YouTube channel if you join the members area.
Right.
Or like $3 a month or something, you can access them.
So people can go back and listen to them, right?
Yes, they can.
Well, just
for the low, low price of $2.79.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, I mean, they're there if people want to listen to them. I don't really count them, but they're there.
Yeah.
Total library, I'm probably around 300 episodes. Oof.
I'm gonna go on a limb. I'm probably wrong here, but I'm gonna go on a limb and say that I've been on your show a lot, right?
At least 4 or 5 times, probably.
Okay,
times 5.
Even the old Bigfoot. The outlaw stuff to you, counting the outlaw stuff to you.
Probably not. No, probably not counting that.
Okay.
The number would go up a little. The number would go up a little.
Yeah, yeah. I was trying to go there. So speaking of Bigfoot Crossroads, what's going on with Bigfoot Crossroads these days? Other than the 100th episode.
You know, the holiday season happened, and I ended up taking a break for a change, which I normally don't do.
Mm, right.
I think I've only put out like 2 shows in the past month or so, which for me is tragic. You know, like I never do that, but I've got some things lined up, got some new guests lined up. I really, this year I'd like to go harder into the other areas besides Bigfoot,
right?
And get more into other weird things. You know, somebody, like, I had, you know, listeners submit questions, and somebody actually asked to talk about sightings of lesser-known cryptids, and we didn't do that question because there aren't any.
Right.
Like, I hardly ever get, you know, any witnesses on that have something to talk about other than Bigfoot. You know, I recently had the Mothra guy that saw a gigantic insect in upstate New York, which was kind of weird, especially, you know, late October.
Yeah.
He sent me a photograph of a box for like size comparison. Like while I was on the phone with him, he's looking around his room. He's like, well, I'm going to send you this photo. This is roughly the size of its body. And this doesn't include wings or anything like that, but just its actual body. And it was like a large shoebox. So, like, the idea of an insect that has a body that large, that's crazy, dude. I don't know what he saw.
Yeah.
But after talking to him, I mean, he definitely saw it. He's got, like, other witnesses that were there that saw it. And he offered to put me in touch with them just to confirm his story that, you know, not for the podcast or anything.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But, yeah, crazy stuff, man.
Well, that's crazy
stuff. Did he call like an exterminator at all or something?
Okay. No, did not.
Wow, but that, you know, that is scary. That would probably freak a lot of people out because they'll probably think it was like a hawk,
yeah,
or
a bird, or anything. But yeah, I did listen to that episode. That's crazy.
Why did I say it like that? A hawk.
I don't know. A hawk.
Gosh, I'm so aggressive. That poor microphone.
I just picture like John Goodman from Arachnophobia, like showing up.
Yeah.
Hey, yeah, yeah.
It's like a good spray movie. And everything.
It's a great movie.
That's I took Jeff Daniels serious because I think I saw Dumb and Dumber and then I saw that movie. I go, oh my God, he's not funny on here. There's something wrong here. Spiders.
Yeah, I was, you know, we were preparing for your 100th episode, and Steven and I, this whole week, we've delved into Bigfoot Crossroads. Mm-hmm. So we, you know, I listened to, I would say, like, 70% of your stuff that you put out recently, because, like, we have moved, and so we've been unboxing stuff, and, but we were listening to, the 33 Years of Bigfoot, the Wild Horses.
The Wild Horse Mountain.
That one was part crazy. One was crazy. Yeah.
Yeah.
His stuff,
man. Wild Horse Mountain was dope, dude. It was real dope.
How far away is that from you?
I think he said on there like 45 minutes. I think he said 45 minutes.
Yeah, it's a little bit longer than that. He didn't want to give away his exact location, so we kind of fudged a few things.
County.
Yeah.
The way that you were about almost an hour away from it.
It was like on the other side of Talbot, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's on the opposite side of the county.
Okay.
So it's like 45 minutes to get to that county.
Crazy.
I would say that, like, you're obviously familiar with the mountains in the southeastern corner. It would be like the northern tip of those mountains, mm-hmm. like the foothill area of those mountains.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Interesting.
If I had a boulder thrown at me, I think I would have done what he did.
Yeah, he took off running. He had a pretty good cluster of mm-hmm. sightings, and he still got stuff going on there, right? You know, right, Matt?
Yeah.
To this day.
Yeah, at his place where he lives. Man, I think it's just a situation where it's just the area has a lot of them, you know.
Mm-hmm. Over by his mom's house, and and I love that the fact that he was a taxidermy, so he knows what a bear looks
yeah.
like.
Yeah.
So he knows, you know, when a bear stands up, it's got shorter legs, and he kept pointing that out. So I love that.
I think I don't know if you said it on the episode or I thought it. But I don't know. Has Bigfoot ever came across a taxidermy stuff like that, and they would think it's real, and like, and then they get pissed off that it's not because it looks. Oh, so
you mean like in Harry and the Hendersons?
Exactly. Like it's just. I wasn't trying to go there, but like you would think like they would.
What do you mean you weren't trying to go there? You made a beeline straight for it.
Damn it! I was being serious though. It has to have like been like an issue. Where Bigfoot has come across that, and they're like, "Oh, look, there's an animal right there," and they're trying to, and they grab it, and it's like, "What the?"
I am pretty sure a Bigfoot knows it smells and what's alive and what's glue and what's stuffing. So I'm pretty sure.
Okay, stuffing. I mean, if it's hungry and it's curious, right? It sees it, and it's like, "Wow, that looks really life. It is lifelike. I mean, it is, but it's dead."
No, he's gonna say it's a you know. Stuff a bear. What's it called? Create a bear?
Oh, build a bear?
Build a bear.
Build a bear.
Or he grabs it and he goes, "What? This one's sick."
Did you know that Build a Bear has a Bigfoot now?
Do they really?
Oh, really?
Those
Yeah. Go. I mean, it just looks like a teddy bear, but it's like wearing a Bigfoot shirt and has little Bigfoot feet.
Hey, I'll grab it.
We got to get one that says Bigfoot Crossroads and.
Bigfoot Club.
Mm-hmm. So.
Faux life.
Oh, my God. I'm going to lose it already.
Yeah.
We're only like 12 minutes in. I'm going to lose it.
We lost him. What was that? Because lag?
Yeah, lag.
Oh, my God. He's not a gamer. He's gone.
Luther Arthur Gross.
He's gone.
Oh, man.
Hilarious. Hilarious.
But yeah, we've kind of delved into Bigfoot Crossroads from this past season. You know, I think the one that I love is the one from Mexico with Rosie, right? Mm-hmm. Rosie, that
was a very interesting. I loved how she was, her friend was right there, and like to not even tell your best friend for that long. That's man.
Yeah.
I get it though. I guess like, cause you don't know like what the hell did I just see? And it was like, she said it was like, it's 8 feet away from her.
Yeah. It was on a bend on a curve of a road. Right. Right, Matt.
Yeah.
That's so,
which I mean, like, you know, it's things like that where, you know, you go in with a few years of field research experience under your belt, not that that really matters, but like you definitely learn certain patterns in Bigfoot sightings over the years. Mm-hmm. And then whenever a witness comes on who doesn't know anything other than what they experienced, and they give you these little context clues that like match up with patterns that are known, like Bigfoot hanging out on those type areas, you know, at the bend of a road and not just on the straightaway and things like that, or in between two hills, it kind of lends a little bit of credence to the story, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think like right after that episode, Stephen and I did a show and we were reading sighting reports from a beef row. And there was a similar, do you recall that? There was a similar one of a guy driving down the road and he hit a turn and he saw a Bigfoot on the side of the road.
Yep.
And I kind of said, because this is like the one on Matt's show.
Yeah.
The one that I saw in Mexico. Mm-hmm. And so that was kind of eerie how close that was, and you know, that we ran into that.
Now, I want to know if it was at the right time, and this is me being silly, at the right time whenever she's driving and she sees the Bigfoot, who can say? It was right at that moment where Enya's singing that song.
Enya's singing
that song. When the night goes, only time. What the hell?
Yeah.
Like, that's just eerie.
Yeah.
That, you know.
And I think
it's in Enya.
I think at the same time too, I looked up Bigfoot sightings in South California, and it's I think I count like 30.
Yep.
So
not including the ones. If it's 30, it's you always say it's double.
Yeah, 60. Yeah. So I mean, it was a lot. I mean, I didn't even think there would be that many in Southern California, but I guess Bigfoot likes a good weather or something. So.
Good weather and street tacos, man.
Yep.
Can't beat that.
Nope.
Matt's shaking his head like,
how did I get involved in this?
Be serious here.
What is happening? Well, you don't have to be serious. No, there are. There are a lot of sightings in Southern California that you wouldn't expect because it's Southern California. And everybody just associates, like, you know, LA with Southern California.
Yeah, people always think about sand and stuff, right? Sand and beaches. And,
yeah, surfing and all that. But, I mean, geographically, it's like the same environment that's in, like, New Mexico and Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
Where there's Bigfoot sightings all the time, and it's widely accepted.
I'm sure
there's just not a lot of researchers in Southern California is the problem.
I'm sure if you get that area of Southern California and just run it straight, you know, across, you're going to run right straight into East Texas. Pew, you know?
Yeah.
Pew, pew, pew. I don't know why I'm doing that. Pew, pew, pew.
Is he shooting? I'm so confused.
I don't know. Maybe he's shooting.
I remember there was a time where I was like intrigued of not only Bigfoot, but the desert Bigfoot and how that I think that was like there was like some PBS kid movie about it. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. And then as I grew up, I go, that's stupid. Like,
yeah,
it's, I don't think that I remember you were telling me there's no food, there's no water. Like, why would it be out there? It's like suicide in a way, but I don't know.
I know the movie you're talking about.
Do you really?
I do, because I posted a clip of it on my Instagram page.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I remember watching. I think I was in fourth grade, and I was like, oh,
yeah, like so the kids are running around trying to solve the mystery of the desert Bigfoot.
Yep. What's the name of it? This desert Bigfoot?
I think. No, it's. I'll have to get back to you.
Okay. And we're back. Matt, did you find the name?
And we're back. You guys just keep talking and I'll find it.
Okay, good. So, yeah, I don't know if you remember me asking you that. Mm. I know it was in elementary and you were still in the TBRC.
Right.
And I asked you about that and you're all like, I mean, it's a good question, but I don't think that's a thing. Like, it's impossible for
Well, me. I think back then I was still green into Bigfoot stuff.
Yeah, I know that. I
mean, and if you think about it now, there's so many. I mean, there's gullies, and there's, like, whenever it rains, it does, like, a flash flood, and there's, like, you know, I'm sure other animals can, like, dig into the ground and find wells, and not wells, but this area, pockets where water used to be, and it still is. So, I mean, if mule deer can live out there, I'm sure, you know, Bigfoot could, too. So,
yeah. I wouldn't say live.
And we're back.
We're back.
Okay.
It is called The Last Chance Detectives, The Legend of the Desert Bigfoot.
That's a long-ass name.
That sounds about right.
The Last Chance Detectives.
What are the odds of Matt knowing what I was talking about there? Just by the little synopsis I gave.
Do you remember that story he told about when he went to that person's house and they had all these movies? And he probably saw it there.
Oh, probably, yeah.
He probably picked it from there and goes, hey, let's put this in VCR.
Yeah.
Or the beta.
Oh, the beta, yeah. So. Wow. Yeah, I remember they showed us that for like one of those when the teachers brought in
The TV that rolled it.
Yeah, rolled it in. It goes, we're not going to learn anything today. We're just going to watch a movie. Oh, okay, cool, sweet. And then they played that. I was like, what the fuck is this movie?
Which, what, you know, what teacher was this?
I think it was fourth grade, so it must have been Mr. Shore's class. Okay. I think it was one of those days where he was absent.
He's a secret cryptid?
No. It was one of those days where he wasn't there. And he was a substitute. And like, we're not learning anything today. We're just going to watch this movie. Okay.
Wow.
But it was in the library. I was interested in it, and I remember checking it out and then watching it at home. Too, so I thought that was interesting.
Wow,
yeah,
that's there's weird. A teacher here in Tulsa that like listens to my podcast.
Really,
one of your teachers?
No, he was actually a teacher where the kids went to school.
Oh,
okay, interesting. And he reached out to you and wrote you like he like DM'd you or what?
Yeah, he follows me on Facebook and everything.
Who wouldn't follow you?
Crazy person,
a teacher,
another teacher.
Yeah,
probably not that teacher, but
that's interesting.
I mean, I know, like, obviously, there's teachers that listen to podcasts, but I just thought it was because he's like from Tulsa and everything, and like actually, he listened to my podcast before I,
right?
Knew who he was or anything.
Yeah, because you don't. Weird. I mean, you don't broadcast too much that you live in Tulsa on your shows, right? You don't do that too often.
Not that much, no. Right, I'll say Oklahoma every now and then, but that's about it.
It's kind of like Blair's job whenever she first got hired at where she works at, and her trainer was listening to Bigfoot Club.
Mm.
And he's like, and she's like, what are you listening to? He's like, it's nothing. He's like, no. What are you listening to? He's like, I'm listening to a podcast I really like. It's Bigfoot Club. She's like, my husband and my uncle do that. That's them. He's like, wait, what? And he's like, it's like, yeah, that's my husband Steven. And he's like, get out of here. He's like this, and he's like, yes. He's like, oh my god, it's so weird. I was like,
that is weird.
Small world, I guess.
We got to get him a shirt.
And then he was like, wait. Do you know Matthew Reginald Nappers?
Yeah, probably. I gotta meet that guy.
That is his legal name.
Yeah, that is his legal name. Mm-hmm. Every name on there, it's his name.
Did someone recently tell us that about Matthew Reginald? Or Matt, did you tell me that story? Did someone recognize you as that? No?
It was Cassandra.
Oh, was
it? She's like, I like how you always talk to your friend from Tulsa, Matthew Reginald Bartholomew Knapp. She said the whole thing. I was like, yep.
Oh, Lord.
He's famous, that guy.
Yeah, man.
Legend in Tulsa.
Matt, we just love you. You know that. We love you so much.
And I you.
Thanks.
That's awesome.
Podcast love. Mm-hmm. Cryptid sports entertainment love.
I'm wearing a Bigfoot shirt right now, actually.
Yeah.
It's not Bigfoot Club. It's just a Sasquatch walking.
Yeah.
It's pretty awesome. I love this shirt.
It looks like a tree line, and it's like a sun going down or something.
Yeah, Matt, do you see it on the mic?
I'm dumb. So dumb.
That could be dumb, yeah. I learned it from you. What the hell was that?
Nothing.
What was that?
Nothing. So, Matt, what guests you got coming up, or can you talk about that at all?
I've got a guy that reached out to me that whenever he was deer hunting had some rocks thrown at him.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have another guy coming up that... I don't know if he's a scientist or just studied science, really smart guy, and has seen a lot of orbs out in the woods and stuff, and has written up some papers on Bigfoot theory and stuff like that. And I think that's the only people I have scheduled right now. I'm still in correspondence with a bunch of other people.
Okay.
I actually just picked up a laptop today.
Hey, I need to do that.
So I'll be able to add it to the repertoire, and I'm hoping to do some panel discussions where I have multiple guests on, present company included.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
You got anything planned for your 100th episode?
No, nothing.
Nothing?
Damn it.
Might I make a suggestion?
I mean, you can if you want.
You should have this podcast. I've barely heard about them, but they're called the Bigfoot Club Podcast.
Yeah.
And, those two guys are pretty funny.
Yeah.
I heard.
You know, I did try something out on Facebook, but it hasn't paid off yet. So you guys are familiar with the television show Expedition Bigfoot, I assume?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the woman on that show, Myra Mayer or whatever?
Maya Montoya, I think. Montoya, is it?
No, not at all.
Not?
No, it's not Montoya.
Martinez?
I can't pronounce her name.
Medea. Medea. Maya Medea. Okay.
Her and Sage Accord are hosting a private Bigfoot camp out for fans of the show at $500 a ticket.
Wow.
And it's bring your own tent. But this has caused quite the online debate in the Bigfoot community over, you know, charging for outings, how it's nobody's business and how they're celebrities and have the right to do it. And then there's the whole camp where nobody should be charging for outings. That's ridiculous. It's a ripoff, all that. Hmm. So I offered, you know, for $100, I'm willing to do a 30-minute phone call about Bigfoot.
Hmm.
So, and for $200, I'll do a 30-minute phone call about a subject of their choice. It doesn't even have to be about Bigfoot. We can talk about whatever they want.
Wow.
But as of yet, I have not
gotten any takers. Offers.
Okay.
No. Mm. So if anybody's listening, $100, PayPal, 30-minute phone call with me.
Are you on Venmo also? Venmo?
I mean, I can be.
Okay.
I can be on whatever they need. Whatever they need. As long as the check clears, I'll be there.
Mm-hmm. I'm okay with that.
Yeah. Man, you know, we got to make a living.
Heck yeah.
You know, the BFRO used to do paid outings. I mean, they still do, but they were the first ones to do it. And the young Matthew Reginald Knappers was very outspoken about how that was absolutely ridiculous. Mm. Now they charged a lot more than $500. They were charging like $1,800 a person or something.
Yeah. I recall that.
And at the time I thought it was ridiculous. You know, they're ripping people off. They're taking them to public land that's free for anybody to use, blah, blah, blah. But as I got older, my opinion has kind of changed on that subject. You know, like if somebody wants to spend their money, that's on them. Who am I to tell them what to spend their money on?
Right.
If they think that it's worth it, more power to them, you know?
Yeah.
That's, you know, the people that go and do that usually are non-Bigfooters or people that are just interested in the subject and they want to be with people who've done it or been in the field. And I get it.
Now, the problem with it is people are going to pay that $500 and they're going to go on this outing and they're the people that believe Expedition Bigfoot's real. And these people that don't actually know shit about Bigfoot are going to fill their heads with bullshit. And then they're going to take it back to the internet and think that they know stuff about Bigfoot now. And they're going to spread that disinformation to other people. Mm. And it's just going to keep on spreading and spreading until everybody thinks they're a Bigfoot expert because they learned some stuff from people that aren't Bigfoot experts that claim to be Bigfoot experts.
Yeah. You know, that's
shots fired.
Yeah.
Pew, pew, pew. There you go.
So
that's where you use it.
I like Expedition Bigfoot. I watch it from time to time. Mm-hmm. Do I think it's entertainment? Yes. Would I follow whatever they do? No.
It's kind of like Ghost Adventures.
Yeah, it's like it's like watching wrestling.
Yeah.
It's entertainment.
Yeah. It is entertainment.
You know, are they ever going to catch anything?
I like wrestling.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like wrestling. I think that the wrestlers are definitely athletes, you know, amazing athletes. Do I think they're actually fighting one another and, like, hurting each other? No. I mean, same thing here. I think that these people, you know, are entertainment. They're definitely capable campers. They know their way around the Bigfoot story. Do I think they actually know anything about Bigfoot? No.
God damn it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, again, I like that show. I watch it, you know, for there's nothing on. I'll watch it. It's good stuff.
1800 though. That's ridiculous. I'm sorry.
That's the BFRO used to do.
That is ridiculous.
Yeah.
But if there are people who are big fans of some, or certain things that they like, yeah. I mean, if Chino Moreno was, you know, out, you pay outing with him, and I have to pay $1,800. Here you go.
I mean, where would he take you though?
I don't know. I don't care.
Okay.
Waffle House.
If you want to go to Waffle House, I'll buy him the food. If I'm offering $1,800 to spend that, I better have more money than that.
So it's $1,836.
Okay, $1,836.
So, yep.
I mean, you'd probably have to buy his food at this point.
Yeah. As well.
Hasn't he been out of work for like 20 years now?
Chino? No.
Yeah.
No. He's been doing pretty well, I guess.
He has another band, right?
He's got multiple bands. He needs to stop. He needs to chill out.
Yeah.
He's like Maynard from Tool. He's got his own wine place, his own pizza place. He started his own, like, taekwondo thing. Then he's got Tool. Then he's got a Perfect Circle. Like,
yeah.
He's calmed down, man.
I mean, he's a busy dude.
And Pussifer, too. That's another band he's on.
Jeez.
Yeah.
So, anyway. Mm-hmm. So, what do you want to talk about?
This is your podcast, man. We can talk about anything you want.
I've always wanted to ask you this question. And I know we've kind of.
And you've never asked it.
No,
there's a question that you've always wanted to ask me.
But we've kind of danced around it.
You never have.
No, we've kind of. Okay. We've kind of danced around a little bit. What are your thoughts on. Because it's just, you know, it's my theory that Bigfoots are attracted to cemeteries. Why do you think that's the case?
I think there's one of two possibilities.
Mm-hmm.
I think that there's the entertainment possibility in terms of how typically when people go to cemeteries, whenever they visit graveyards, they're emotional. I think they would find that emotional outburst interesting for people watching purposes. I think that there's a possibility that there's some sort of attractant to the stones, to the ground itself, in terms of minerals and things like that. I think there's a possibility that in certain areas, such as Oklahoma, for instance, where you have these old Native American cemeteries that are out in the middle of nowhere, out in the woods, basically. It creates like an environment where smaller game animals will be, because the woods will be cleared out. You'll have this opening, there's grass and things like that. So that could be an attractant. But then I also think on the flip side, that there might be some sort of supernatural thing at play, something that we don't understand, that the Bigfoot does.
I like that. That's
a good answer.
I was leaning toward more this, your second answer, but that's just me. Cause I know one of the very first times I took Steven out on an outing, it was in a cemetery. So, and then we got Bigfoot activity. And we would rarely get Bigfoot activity the first time we would go out anywhere. Mm-hmm. And Steven got bombarded with all kinds of stuff while we were in the cemetery. It was a Civil War cemetery too. It was pretty old. And Steven, how did you feel about that?
I actually thought that we would get more paranormal stuff at that moment because it's old, and I was terrified
right
of it. So I don't know. I was like, I kept always, I was always told, he goes, yeah, if you fear it or if you fear something like that, they're going to feed off of it.
Yeah.
If it's just a thing that they would fear. It's the same thing with, I guess, with Bigfoot. There's a lot of emotions there. They were curious. You know, I still think that that truck, whoever was driving down that street, full, like, rage, like, he was, like, speeding like there was no other, bad out of hell. He slammed on the brakes, and I think he saw something.
Yeah.
I think he saw something move across.
There was a creek to our left when we were there, and we saw eyeshine in the creek bed, Matt. And then when we were getting pelted by rocks, we took the flashlights off the creek bed, and this, I guess, we're assuming that these eyeshines went down the creek bed that met the road, and then there was this truck hauling ass down the road, and the creek bed went under the road, and so this vehicle slammed on the brakes probably like 30 to 40 yards down the road, mm-hmm. and it backed up, and then it took off again. So we were thinking that this Bigfoot crossed the road, this truck saw it, slammed on the brakes, and then took off. And so, because mm-hmm. we all ran to the road to see what was going on, and we saw the brake lights kick on. It was like the truck was skidding,
yeah,
and then backed up, and then took off again.
What was funny is that as soon as we the truck passed by, I think I either said it or I thought it out loud. I was like, man, that fucking truck, whoever's driving is going to scare whatever is right here off.
Yeah,
nope. I think it did the opposite.
Yeah,
I think it scared it off. Because it saw something. I don't know what it was, but it was interesting.
Yeah.
I think that was probably the best, outing for me
mm-hmm.
on that, because a lot of things happened. Now, we didn't see anything. I didn't see anything other than the eye shine, but I didn't see any, like...
I know, but you experienced, like, tree knocks.
Tree knocks, rock throwing, and
There was a couple of yells.
A couple of yells, yep.
So...
And, yeah, that was...
Because that rarely happens.
Well, so this is a story that I haven't told before.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not like a big deal or anything, but like in high school, I had this best friend who was Native American.
Mm-hmm.
And whenever we were in our early 20s, he got killed by a drunk driver. And his family asked me to participate in his burial, basically. He had, like, for lack of better words, he had his father was white, his mother was Native, and so there was like a white funeral and a Native funeral, and I went to both, me and a couple other people that he was friends with. And crazy stuff happened during that whole ordeal, which was like a multiple day event. But specifically on the day of his burial, we went to the cemetery that his family used, which was out in the country. It was in the woods, just like I was talking about earlier. It was like mm-hmm. the area of the woods had been cleared out, and this little cemetery was there, very small. And we actually, as part of the ceremony, we buried him. And this was during the daytime and everything. And one of his other friends, a Native friend of his that was there, during the ceremony, yelled out. It was a very emotional, spiritual type situation. It was, for lack of a better term, what you would typically associate with like a war cry.
Mm-hmm.
And whenever he did that, something responded from the woods behind the cemetery. And after the funeral, we hung around at the gravesite. Everybody else left. And we heard stuff moving around and like branches cracking and that feeling of being watched coming from the woods. Obviously, this was actually... this was right at the very beginning whenever I was starting to get interested in Bigfoot. Like, seriously interested.
I was about to ask that question.
It wasn't something that was really in the front of my mind yet. This would have been in 1999, and I started researching in 2000.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Kind of makes you wonder
if
that Bigfoots have always, I think they know the tradition of a burial.
Mm-hmm.
I just hope that they do it out of respect, you know?
I think so.
I think they understand.
Well,
if
they bury their dead, which some people believe they do, and they observe us burying our dead,
mm-hmm.
and they understand that, and they have that connection, that would be another explanation as to why they hang out in cemeteries. Then there's also the belief that they are kind of like guardians or protectors of old cemeteries, Native American cemeteries, at least. And there's been a lot of sightings and encounters and stuff that I'm directly associated with that took place at like Native burial mounds. Some like ongoing activity over the years. Like there is this one place that the people I was associated with used to go to all the time. And there was a Sentinel Bigfoot there that was seen multiple times over the years, always at the same exact location every time they went. So like you could go there and see it at this one spot and then go back a year later and encounter it at the same spot. There was always this Sentinel Bigfoot guarding this location at this same spot, and it was Native American burial grounds.
Matt, explain to people who don't know what a Sentinel Bigfoot is, if you don't mind.
So it's just a lone Bigfoot that is usually posted up in a strategic position where it can see humans coming in and out of an area. And it's basically watching guard for the rest of the group, we believe. I mean, it's just theory, of course, but like, I believe that they're not just strictly nocturnal. There's a lot of sightings during the day, but I do believe they're more active at night. I believe that throughout the course of the day, they probably do a lot of napping and sleeping off and on. And I think that these sentinels kind of watch over the territory while the other ones are asleep or whatever.
Mm.
And so nobody sneaks up on them.
Right.
And we found this, this has happened in every state. You know, like, it's not something just I've experienced or people I know have experienced, like other researchers have experienced it time and time again.
Mm-hmm. Wow. I like that.
Mm-hmm.
Steven, you guys like anything to add?
On to that, I mean, it makes sense. It's like a wolf, you know, or actually any type of animal in packs. So, yeah. I didn't even know there was a name for it, though.
That's
new to me right there.
I mean, if you can go on like these guided trips in Africa to see the gorillas like out in the forest.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I've watched streamers, you know, going over to Africa and going on these trips. And these trips are like crazy, dude. Like I would never do it ever. Mm-hmm. The gorillas are used to people. Okay. They've been around people their entire lives. So they're used to people, but they're still wild gorillas. They're living out in nature. It costs like some ridiculous amount, dude, like $3,500 a person to go.
Jesus Christ.
And to hike into these areas, it is some of the most crazy terrain I've ever seen. It's just ridiculous watching these like rich American tourists like hike into these areas, you know, and the guides have like machetes and are like literally like cutting through the forest and everything. And these people are just like trucking along after them. But these gorillas, you know, will be like out napping or feeding or whatever. And the group will be in a general area, but they're kind of spread apart. And each individual is kind of doing their own thing. There might be like a couple of young ones playing near an adult or whatever. But there will always be a larger male, usually the alpha, sitting in a position where he's kind of like overlooking the entire group, and he'll position himself in between the people and the group.
Hmm.
And that seems very reminiscent of the same type behavior we feel that we have experienced out in the woods with Bigfoot.
Right. Makes sense.
It does make sense.
Which is why early on, you know, I was so into flesh and blood, and this is a big primate, and it just leads you down what I believe is a completely incorrect path. Because, I mean, there's like so many similarities between gorillas and other primates that they have and that they do. But then there's the unknown factor that just we have no explanation for.
Was there like an incident or maybe a researcher or maybe an error that made you go from flesh and blood to more open?
That's a really good question. I mean, there's probably just several things. I would say one of the biggest influences was probably Lamar County. I know we were just talking about it, but I can't shake it.
Yeah. Mm. Well,
I can't shake it.
That was whenever you and I met, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Here we are.
I wish you were there, Stephen.
Me too. I mean, but who knows? We might go there.
Again, yeah.
Again? Who knows? Matt, I was going to ask you something. It was an episode that you were talking to. I want to say it was with the Wild Horse one. What do you, it's like a two-part question. Do you believe in Bigfoot killing dogs, pets? I guess what you could say, a cat, it could be cats and dogs, but I hear about like stories of dogs being like ripped apart and stuff. Do you think that that's an actual Bigfoot doing that?
Yes.
Okay. My second question is, actually it's three. Why do you think that they do that? Is it because the dog is annoying, or maybe the dog was attacking, or just because it felt like it?
So I've heard people say that dogs get killed whenever they don't shut up.
Okay.
Like if a Bigfoot is coming up around a house and the house has a dog and the dog's barking and yapping and letting the owner know that there's an intruder. Mm-hmm. If that dog doesn't learn to shut up, it will end up missing or dead. Mm. I don't know if that's necessarily true or not. I don't know if they see them as a food source, but there have been, I found a dead dog before. I found two dead dogs.
Ripped apart like that?
No, just dead.
Just dead?
I didn't go examine them or anything. Mm-hmm. And I will say that it's possible that they were dumped by people. Uh-huh. It's kind of interesting now that I think about it, they were both Rottweilers. Which are known to be more
aggressive.
One of them was here in Oklahoma. Me and Chad actually were checking out this area by my lake house that I used to have in my family. And there was an actual sighting that took place. And I knew the location because, I knew this area like the back of my hand. Mm-hmm. And we went there. And after observing the location and everything, even before we got there, I was pretty apprehensive because like this isn't an area like I just couldn't imagine a Bigfoot being there. But whenever we were there, we found the track and it was in a puddle of water. And it was just like, okay, well, this track's here, so where would they come from? You know, because the only cover was across a cove of the lake right there. And on the other side of the cove was woods and everything, so this thing would have had to like either come out of the woods and walked along a highway bridge to get here, or it came across the cove, like swam or waded or whatever. So we drove over to the other side of the cove, which to drive over there would take like 20 minutes. And there was like all kinds of crazy tree structures over there. I mean, stuff I had never seen before. There was a couple trees that were like leaned up against other trees, like in the fork of a tree, but the roots were up in the air on the top and not the bottom. And these were like, you know, 30-foot long trees. And there was this Rottweiler, a dead Rottweiler, that was down. It wasn't like at the edge of the lake. Like it hadn't been washed up by the water or anything. It wasn't even bloated or anything. But it was like down in this ravine next to the lake. Like to get to the water, you would have to go down in this ravine. Mm. And this was a ravine was probably 20, 25 foot. And it was just like, I mean, there's no way a person could have gotten down there. Now, a person could have driven over there and dumped their dog and thrown it down in there for some reason. I don't know why anybody would do that, but it's a possibility. And then the other one, I was actually with Luke. And we were by whatever town he used to live in, because we were over by his house. I remember that. And we were at some road where somebody had a sighting, and we could smell the smell of something dead. And eventually we traced it to this dead Rottweiler that was like in one of those culverts that go underneath the road. And it was like up underneath there. So maybe it got sick and went under there and died. I don't know, but it was kind of weird. But I've also heard stories of like, one of the first stories I ever heard was about a German shepherd that went missing, and they eventually found the body, and the head had been pulled off and was still missing.
Wow. See, that's the part that's a little traumatizing. Well, like, what would you say to, because in a way, those are kind of, it's a witness. They find their pets or their dogs that they love, and it's like traumatizing to see something like that. Like if you're missing your dog, and you're like, man, you're calling out for your dog, and then you find your dog and it's ripped apart. Like, what do you say to those owners? Like,
yeah. Well, I was just gonna say that I can't remember if I was with Kenny or I was with Tim, but we were in Lamar County, mm-hmm. and we drove up to the boat ramp for Pat Mays Lake, and we just had like a parabolic dish, and we were just sitting there at night trying to hear. Instead of being at Mike's house, we drove up to the boat ramp, and then just like we're just listening, and there was a guy that pulled up next to us, and he was in an RV, and he was crying, and so I can't remember if it was me or Kenny the Marvelous Marv. We walked up to him and, hey man, what's up? We had some coffee, you know. I think Kenny had some coffee, offered this guy some coffee, and he was saying that his dog was just killed, like on another boat ramp on Pat Mays Lake. He just happened to come over there. Mm-hmm. And we asked him, oh, how did he die? And he said it was killed by a red orangutan. That's what he said. Mm-hmm. Said his dog went up to, he went to go for a walk right next to the Pat Mays Lake, and his dog went ahead of him. He heard the dog yiping, and he ran up the trail. And he said a Bigfoot picked it up. I think he had like a Dachshund, picked it up by its head and its back legs, and just pulled it apart.
See that? And that's just it's just worrisome that if you're able to do that to an animal,
yeah,
who's to tell that they can do that to a person screaming,
yeah,
because you know every person reacts differently when they see something, and when they see something like a Bigfoot and they're screaming,
yeah,
Bigfoot's like hey, and then it just
he was shaking pretty bad, and he was like when he was drinking his coffee, he was shaking, and then what it kind of hit home with me is that he told me that after it did it went like behind a tree. And it was like showing its head out the side of the tree, and it was rocking back and forth, showing its teeth. So that part, when he told me that, I go, man, that. And it was like I got another story of a red Bigfoot throwing rocks at guys that were cutting down trees. Mm-hmm. And so within probably like a 2 month span, I got two stories of a red Bigfoot. Mm-hmm. So we called him Red, mm-hmm. and so Rojo, and so we got two stories of two Bigfoot being violent, throwing rocks at you know, guys cutting down trees to for a guy to want to build a house. And this guy was, you know, on vacation, probably walking his dog, and the dog got killed. And
it's traumatizing to see that, because it's like, you know, you're seeing a Bigfoot,
right?
Something huge, and then it grabs your dog, and it kills it right in front of you, and then it does that. That's like, what do you say to those people that, you know?
It was tough, because he was, you know, he was kind of inconsolable, mm-hmm. and he was like shaking, and eventually, you know, he wanted to go in his RV and lay down, and, you know,
y'all let him.
Obviously. Yeah, we let him do his deal, and we didn't want to linger. And so I think we had business cards at the time, so we gave him business cards. The guy never called us back, of course, but
yeah, that's, man.
Yeah,
that just struck home with me, because they said it on Bigfoot Crossroads, like very, like, not like nonchalant, like, yeah, like, oh, that's a thing.
Matt's Bigfoot Crossroads?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
And he said, yeah, they found like two dogs that are like ripped apart and stuff like that. And I go, excuse me? Like, that's a little concerning, you know?
Yeah.
But,
no, dude. Like, I heard all kinds of horror stories about dogs
whenever
I was researching. Like, it was a common thing. There was an investigation up in Missouri where there was like basically it was a fenced in area, like where the dog was, but the type of fencing was like this really, it's like horse fencing. So there's like
big gaps,
these open there's these open rectangles and everything, but it's not just wire that you can just bend. And I don't remember how big the openings are, but I mean, they're not very big. You know, they might be like 8 inches by 6 inches or something like that. And something had tried to pull this dog through one of those openings and gotten its head and everything through. And the skin was just like pulled back off of the dog.
Ugh. Oh, man.
That takes some strength to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, Brenda Harris, who I've had on a few times over the years, like, there was, you know, dogs, pit bulls that were killed and, like, thrown up on the roof of the house, thrown up in trees, just all kinds of crazy stuff. That, you know, there's just, what does that?
Yeah.
I can't help but think it's probably related to the barking. I think that theory is probably correct.
Mm-hmm.
Something that has to do with the sound. I think they might be kind of sensitive to loud sounds like that.
Yeah.
And they don't like them. There's a lot of stories, encounters that people have had whenever they're like cutting their grass or out on a tractor or something, and one will come like to the tree line and just like scream at them.
Yeah.
The chainsaw stories, we've heard lots of stories where people, you know, are using chainsaws and get screamed at and rocks thrown at them and everything else. They just don't like loud noises, man.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
So, Matt, where can our listeners go and find Bigfoot Crossroads?
Probably the best place is whatever their favorite podcast platform is.
Okay.
And then YouTube. And then BigfootCrossroads.com.
Okay.
But before they do any of that, they should check out BigfootClubPodcast.com.
Okay.
There it is.
And there it is.
There it is.
Matt, thank you so much for taking the time to listen, not to listen, to come onto the show. You know, we really enjoy talking to you. It's one year, you know, to be honest with you, I think you're like our official, unofficial third member of Bigfoot Club.
Yep. So.
Yes.
Pretty much. Yeah, so.
And thank you guys for joining me on the 100th episode of Bigfoot Crossroads.
Yes.
Not a problem. We should do it again whenever you restart it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or 200 episode.
Yeah. We want to be back on number 150 and then 200, mm-hmm. and then, you know, any other ones after that.
Mm-hmm. Or every single one. You never know.
All of them.
Yes. All of them.
All right.
Everyone.
Steven, you have any shout outs?
Shout out to Jason at my wife's job.
Okay.
Who listens to the show.
Thanks, Jason.
Cassandra. Blair and the boys.
Mm-hmm. Grandma, if she's listening.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, everybody. Please go and subscribe. Leave a comment. 5-star review. It always helps us out all the time. And if you have any stories or if you need help in your area, reach out to us at BigfootClub1@gmail.com. All righty. Good night and goodbye.